Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Mark Lichtenwalter. This is Fundamentally Mormon from the Zion's Redemption Radio Network. I am Mark Lichtenwalter, and we are reading The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut. We're live streaming at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 and at YouTube at youtube.com/user/God is my compass. You can find my blog at fundamentallymormon.com, and I post everything on my webpage, Zion's Redemption Bookstore on Facebook, and also in my group. Cam, you've got people with gifts. There's people at the door. Okay, anyway. My group, LDS Last Days Gospel and Prophecy Discussion. I can't remember right now. I'm like a little flustered. So anyway, I'm going to be reading chapter 12 of The Gathering of Israel, which is on pages 113 to 131. Can you please close the door? Chapter 12 of The Gathering of Israel, The Wolves and the Shepherds. So we'll get into that right after I dedicate the program. Once again, the live call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Thank you, Emmett. How come they're warm? Okay, go find something to put them in that's cold. So I was supposed to wake up at 4 p.m. today, and for some reason my alarm clock didn't go off, and nobody thought, well, Dad said he wanted to wake up at 4, so I'm running way late today because I didn't wake up till way late. So, but I'm still going to do the radio program. I feel it's something that I need to do. This is also part of my my study time, and I like to share that with people since I'm learning things and I can also teach things as I'm reading these books that I read. So, you can find my old radio program at blogtalkradio.com/ The Kingdom of God or Nothing. And then my new radio program, which is this one, blogtalkradio.com/ Fundamentally Mormon. So, I'll just get into the dedication, and then we will go right into the reading. So, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We come to thee this day, Father, in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, thy Son, and our Redeemer, and our Messiah. We dedicate our time unto thee, Father, and we ask for thy Spirit to be with us as we read and contemplate the things which are spoken. We thank thee, Father, for Ogden Kraut, for compiling all of this work from early church history, and for taking the time to write all of these many books that he wrote during his lifetime. And we thank thee, Father, for the atoning sacrifice of thy Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. We love thee, Father, and we thank thee for all of our many blessings, and dedicate this show unto thee and this time of study unto thee. We do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Wolves and the Shepherds, pages 113 to 131, chapter 12 of The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter my sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Unity is one of the first principles of strength to weaken men or things requires only to cause separation or scattering. Knowing this vulnerable weakness in an enemy, both military forces and devils plan and scheme to divide them, to divide, then conquer. The devil has ever sought to separate, to split or cause division among those he opposed. Any spirit or influence which teaches saints to scatter or remain scattered is a spirit that will cause weakness among the people of God. The scattering principle has always been opposed by the prophets of God. We have warned against the principle of promoting or making wealthy those who wish us no good. We have fought it hard to convince our brethren and sisters that the saying of the Savior is really as true when applied to us as it was when applied to the followers of his day. Quote, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Thousands of this people this day will not believe that saying. We have this to war against, and the warfare should be engaged in by every Latter-day Saint. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 10, page 200 to 201. Every true saint should guard against any teaching or influence that is opposed to their gathering, even under dire stress or in times of trouble. The saints must always keep the gathering of Israel as an objective in their lives. Page 114 of The Gathering of Israel. John Boynton, in his own quaint and forcible manner, depicts the almost ceaseless opposition now alluring and the anon fierce and formidable to which his pilgrim was subject ere he reached the heavenly city. Now, if a saint can go up to Zion without being tempted and tried in a greater or lesser degree, I do not see rightly in the matter. I do not expect such a thing, because Satan does not like to see the people of God assembled for the day of decision, and it is contrary to reason to suppose that his satanic majesty will not do all in his power to prevent their assembling. John Jachos, I think I'm saying that wrong, Millennial Star, Volume 16, page 67. Sidney Rigdon once came under the influence to scatter while Brigham Young chose to contend for the gathering. On one occasion, when the prophet was imprisoned, Sidney Rigdon exhorted the saints. Hold on. Hey, I'm hearing screaming and it needs to stop. I have two little girls who are crazy. And they are screaming downstairs because they are playing. One of them is 4 and the other one is 6. So they look like they're like the 4-year-old is actually 5 pounds heavier than the 6-year-old because the 6-year-old is really small. So they look like twins. Everybody thinks they're twins. But they are crazy. They love playing with each other. So anyway, Sidney Rigdon exhorted the saints to scatter and every man to do the best he could for himself. For, said he, this work of the gathering of the saints we shall not accomplish. The saints will never be gathered again. I took the liberty of saying to him that it was my opinion that we should be gathered again and that by and by we should have Joseph with us. Some thought it was impossible, but we had Joseph again, and we gathered. The Lord thus proved his people and tried them whether they would apostatize and give themselves up to the power of Satan or be faithful in their calling to their God under every circumstance. The Lord will try this people in all things as he tried Abraham of old to prove whether they will forsake him or cling to the faith of the Holy Gospel. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 17, or on page 115 of The Gathering of Israel. The gathering was required during times of trouble when it seemed nearly impossible. It proves that it also can be accomplished in our own time, regardless of the conditions or circumstances. It is regrettable that the majority of the saints have never been fully converted to the practice of gathering. Many of them have tried to discourage or prevent others from gathering, and this spirit eventually has a universal effect upon the church. Again, if those who go forth to preach the gospel could speedily gather every one of the saints from Europe, Asia, Africa, and the islands of the sea, and from whatever they are, wherever they are scattered, there would be 20,000, yes, 50,000 converted, where there are now not 10. The lingerers are right in the gate, like a dog in the manger. Will they neither eat themselves nor let anybody else eat? And they are an offense in the eyes of the world, and they block up the work from rolling on. I wish they were gathered into the bush heap and burned. That is, those who ought to be burned, the rest gathered with us. For the Lord, in the very first start of this church, let them gather themselves together into one place. Still, do you not see how desirous people are to scatter here and there and not go as they are told? But they are for getting off by themselves to partake of the spirit of the world and the spirit of selfishness, and they want to own everything there is. Heber C. Kimball, Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 159. So, and like that's, you know, like today it's so much easier to gather with like-minded fellow believers, but you don't really see it that often. I mean, even from all around the world, but, Joseph F. Smith came out with a false revelation from the government of the United States, not from God, that Zionists, wherever you're at, even though that contradicts the Doctrine and Covenants and former revelations, and unfortunately, Joseph did say that if they contradict the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, you have to set them down as imposters. So when Joseph F. Smith in the 1910s stated that Zion was wherever you're at, which contradicts former revelation, I have to set him down as an imposter. But that's just me. So anyway, 116 of the Gathering of Israel. Throughout the history of the church, there have arisen those who have either failed to proclaim. Well, I got to say something also. God has never rescinded any of his revelations. But neither has he actually given us more revelation since the 1880s. And when he told us not to give up plural celestial marriage, which we did it anyway. We just gave it up. We gave up our principles. You know, we haven't had any thus saith the Lord revelation since. And then the church throws out those revelations. They don't want people to know about them, even though they were published in the Doctrine and Covenants over in Europe. But, you know, just further suppression of things by the LDS Church, like the 1835 account of the first vision, which was suppressed by the church. You know, Joseph F. Smith, I think, is the one that suppressed that one, too, which is now out and people can find out about it. It's really interesting. But, you know, if it doesn't go with the narrative that they want, then they try to get rid of it, just like they got rid of John Taylor's revelations and visions, just like they got rid of Wilford Woodruff when he was told by the Lord not to give up plural celestial marriage, and then less than a year later he does it anyway because he's more scared of the government than he is of God. But anyway... But God has never rescinded any of his revelations, nor has he given us any thus saith the Lord revelations contrary to the things that he has already spoken to us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't do that. If he's asked us to be a certain way so that Zion can be redeemed, we need to be a certain way so Zion can be redeemed. Hold on. Emmett! 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 Why? I told him to get me a drink, and he gave me a warm drink, and then he walked away with it. I swear, my son is 13, but he has Asperger's, and I asked him to bring me a drink right before the radio show started. And as you saw, if you're watching the video, anyway, he bring me a warm drink. There's drinks in the fridge. I asked him to go get me a cold one, and then he walked off with the drink that he bought me, and then he went next door because he's 13. I don't know. Anyway, I'm really irritated today because I forgot to set my alarm clock. So I was supposed to wake up at 4, and I woke up at 6. I think it was 6. It was after 6, actually. And everybody knows that I'm supposed to wake up at 4 so I can get everything done before I need to do the radio show and do the radio show at 6 p.m. And everybody was home and nobody woke up Dad. Like, anyway, personal problems. And I want to do these radio shows at 6 p.m. every day so I can get to work. Because my shift is supposed to be 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., but I haven't been doing the radio shows because just the way things have been. So, anyway, Emmett, get me a cold drink out of the fridge, please. If I have to ask you again, you're grounded for the rest of your life. Anyway, all right. Let's see. So we're on page 116 of the Gathering of Israel. Throughout the church, the history of the church, there have arisen those who have either failed to proclaim the gathering or else discouraged it. Formerly, it was advocated with enthusiasm, but gradually it has been treated with indifference or opposition until today the doctrine... Just give me one. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, my mouth gets dry when I'm talking a lot, so. All right. Until today, the doctrine of gathering is nearly forgotten. It is interesting to note the difference in teachings between many of the present elders of the church and those of Brigham Young. Some of these comparisons follow. Spencer W. Kimball. As we have told the saints in Europe, in hundreds of meetings in many different locations, if the saints in Europe will remain in their lands and will build the church and the kingdom in Europe and train and hold their children and bring them into the holy temples in Europe for marriage, the kingdom can grow and prosper and God will bless them. And that I know. December 1955, Improvement Era. Brigham Young. The Lord never could teach his people while they were among the wicked how to live by themselves, how to unite their efforts and their whole power for the establishment of his kingdom. May 1868, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 229. So, like, you've got one guy, Spencer W. Kimball, telling people to stay in Europe and not to gather among the saints, and then you've got Brigham Young talking about how God can't teach his people unless they're in a gathered state. You know, they contradict each other. We're on page 117 of the Gathering of Israel. Joseph Fielding Smith, our building of foreign temples is to encourage the saints to stay in their own countries. October 17th, 1936. Oh, yeah, Joseph Fielding Smith. Okay. October 17th, 1936, Deseret News Church Section. Brigham Young stated, which will oppose what Joseph Fielding said, God is now displaying his power in a marvelous degree, whispering to the inmost souls of the children of men in foreign lands with a still small voice. Flee to the mountains, for the day of the Lord is upon the wicked nations of Babylon. May 10th, 1868, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 207 and 208. Matthew Cowley on page 118 of The Gathering of Israel. I would like to say to you, saints around the world, that I know that in your heart this day there is a longing to be here at the hub of this great church, a longing which you cannot realize. See, the Spirit's telling them to gather, and they listen to the flesh, the men of the church, instead of the Spirit. And I, in a sense, I am pleased that you do not have that desire fulfilled. You are needed where you are. We encourage you to stay where you are because you are needed there where the light is going out. April 1952, Conference Report, page 102. Brigham Young, quote, such men and women have seen in the revelations of the Spirit that God would gather his people even before the gathering was taught to them by the servants of God, and they understood the great object of gathering. They saw that the people of the Lord could not be sanctified while they remained scattered abroad among the nations of the Gentiles. January 1868, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 154. Charles, so anybody can comment while I'm doing my live stream, and they can also call in too. Let's see if we have any callers. No, we don't. Anyway, Charles Ellard said that he wanted to ask me if I've ever read the Restoration Scriptures of the Book of Mormon. I'm assuming he's talking about the ones that Rob Kay has done, and no, I have not. Not at this time. I don't even have them. I should buy them. That would be nice, because I've read quotes in them when I'm reading his blog. But anyway, we're on page 119 of The Gathering of Israel. Heber J. Grant, quote, many of the saints who come here could be far more useful in assisting to strengthen and build up the church in their native lands by making sacrifices to come to Zion, where their expectations may not be realized. Yeah. The other thing that's really sad about people coming to where the church headquarters is they've got to deal. They have this idea that if they come here among all of these many Mormons, that it's going to be great and everything, but it's not. The sin next to murder, which the LDS Church teaches is sexual sin, it's not. The sin next to murder is doing something that causes people to not want to partake of baptism or to be members of the church, to be members of the body of Christ, because of the bad behavior of the members. And you come here, and this whole area is completely corrupted by these type of people. I've got a neighbor next door. He flips me off every time he sees me. He hates my guts. For no reason other than the rumors that the people in this ward, in this area, speak about me. I've heard all kinds of stuff about who I am or what I believe, and most of it is trash. And it comes from the members of this area. And my next door neighbor, he's a Catholic piece of junk, who cheats on his girlfriend, living girlfriend, and abuses their kids, but he hates me. For what reason? I have no idea. But he said that I said, what do you have a problem with me for? Well, you litter in my yard every day. And I'm like, no, I don't. There's a tree that's right on his side of the property line, and every time the wind blows, which is a lot, branches fall out of the tree because he doesn't take care of the tree. They fall in my yard, and they fall in his yard, and he has to clean it up, and he's mad at me about that. I'm not cleaning up your yard, and the tree's on your side of the property line, so what am I supposed to do about it? You know, it's just, but it stems from the rumors in the area that I live in with these trashy Mormons who do things, and they're all high and mighty, and they do things that cause it so that people don't even want to be associated with the people of God. In fact, the ward that I was in this area was disbanded because once that rotten core got a hold of the ward, people stopped going to church. This whole area is full of people that went that used to go to church, and they had to disband the ward. And people didn't move out. That was the excuse that they gave, but people didn't move out of this area. They just stopped going to church because of how bad it got. That is the sin next to murder. You know, and I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I think I'm gonna. Okay, Hugh J. Grant. Many of the saints who come here could be far more useful in assisting to strengthen and build up the church in their native lands than by making sacrifices to come to Zion where their expectations may not be realized. With cordial good wishes, we are sincerely your brethren, Heber J. Grant, W. Ivins, W. Nibley, First Presidency, Message of the First Presidency, Clark, Volume 5, page 269. Okay, well, here's what Brigham Young said, because I don't accept Heber J. Grant as a prophet. He's a Babylonian businessman who stated that the heavens were as brass to him and he could not get revelation from God. But he was the seventh president of the church. So, all right, Brigham Young, can we not sanctify ourselves without the chastening hand of the Almighty upon us? We can, if we will do as we are told. By whom? By the Old and New Testament and all the revelations given in them and in the Book of Mormon and the Book of the Doctrine and Covenants. They all center on one point in this respect. You saints, gather yourselves together, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, live by yourselves and build up the kingdom of God. Not November 1868, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 316. John A. Widtsoe on page 120. The time of the gathering is past. Okay, where's the revelation for that, Johnny Boy Widtsoe? Where's the revelation for that? The time of the gathering is past. We now live in the time of scattering. Okay, the devil's the one that wants to scatter, not God. God wants his saints to gather, unless they're being punished for some reason. You know, the Diaspora, where the Jews were scattered because of their wickedness. Oh, so we're in a time of scattering. Does that mean the church is wicked? Are we, you know, well, maybe. Anyway, we want to scatter our people over the face of the earth that we might leaven the whole lump. Truth Magazine, September 1952, page 103. Brigham Young stated, "Our business is to build up the Zion of God on earth. Do you think you will do it and go hand in hand with the wicked? No, never." May 1968, Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 231. You want to read? We'll give the baby to Lydia and then come over here and read. We have to show the baby off every day, though. Okay. This is my baby. If you can see on the video, his name is Arius. And he is 3 weeks old. Okay. And Lydia is here. Okay. Okay, go. Anyway. Here, I'm going to put this up. On page 121, David O. McKay.
Okay, and we're just reading till it's done?
No, get out of here. Get out of here. People stay out of here unless I ask you to come in here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to stand right over here.
Okay. David O. McKay. asking him, David O. McKay, if missionaries should persist in encouraging members to leave their homes and move to Zion. No, he answered. It is important that the branches be built up and members should remain at and work towards that end. November 1963, instructor, page 385. Brigham Young said, the elders of Israel should go forth, calculating to help the people both temporally and spiritually. Go and preach the gospel and help the honest in heart to gather that they may aid in building up Zion. For that was the design of the Lord when he said, through the revelator John, come out of her, my people. I think that means here, but it says come out of her.
Yeah, no, come out of her is big for come out of Babylon.
Okay, come out of her. I don't know if you can hear him. He said coming out of her is coming out of the great whore, Babylon. Okay, so it says come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. April 1867, Journal of Discourse, Volume 12, page 38. Bruce R. McConkie said, we are now in a new era of church growth and development. We are becoming a world church. Every nation is the gathering place for its own people. September 2nd, 1972, Church News. Brigham Young said, I am rejoiced to meet and associate with the saints. It is one of the greatest privileges and blessings I can enjoy in the face of this earth, to gather out from the wicked world with the saints and be far away from the contaminating influence of the breath of the ungodly. That's June 1860, Journal of Discourse, Volume 8, page 91. Harold B. Lee, President Lee explained that one of the purposes in holding the various area conferences was that many more people could assemble than could come to headquarters of the church at the semi-annual conferences held in Salt Lake City. That was August 1973, Church News, page 4. Brigham Young, civilization, it is corruption and wickedness of the deepest dye. It is no society for you. My people, come out of her. Gather out where you can pray, where you can have meetings and sacraments, where you can meet, associate, and mingle together, where you can beautify the earth and gather around you the necessaries. It says necessaries. I think it means necessities of life. And make everything as beautiful as Zion and begin to establish Zion on the earth. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify your houses, the lands that you live upon, your farms, the streams of water that flow through your cities, country places and farms. Sanctify your hills and mountains and valleys and the land around about, and begin to build up Zion. Now, come out of her, my people, for this purpose, and partake not of her sins, lest ye receive of her plagues. After all these revelations and commandments, the people who profess to be the saints mingle with the wicked and foster those who would cut their throats, and feed and clothe and give them everything they can gather together. That was in February 1867, Journal of Discourse, Volume 11, page 300. The ancient prophets and the scriptures are so predominant in the doctrine of gathering that the apostle Orson Pratt declared that a true prophet could be detected upon this principle. Now, supposing that Joseph Smith had all these proofs that I have named to testify concerning the divinity of this book and had said nothing about the gathering, what then? Why you and I could go to our homes and say, good by Joseph Smith, we do not believe you to be a prophet. Why? Because the latter-day dispensation was to be characterized by the gathering together of all things in one that are in Christ, and you have said nothing about it, and therefore we reject you. Journal of Discourse, Volume 17, page 275. Others also applied this key to determine who were inspired teachers. If men have not the spirit of gathering, they are blind and cannot see afar off and are nigh unto burning. The gathering is one great test of faith by which you may know who is on the Lord's side. Millennial Star 9, page 310. Orson Spencer. It is true that no other subject, gathering, is so largely treated of the prophecies, But our theologians, being more wise than the prophets and seeing that such a doctrine would be very hurtful to the best interests of a popular Christianity, had long done away with it by substituting a spiritual gathering in its stead. William McGee, is that who that is? William McGee, Millennial Star, Volume 12, page 182. And on page 125, I can't at the same time. You have heard Brother Brigham preach it here, time and time again, and other men, that a scattering spirit was not the spirit of God. And I know it is not. Heber C. Kimball, Journal of Discourse, Volume 4, page 362. President Brigham Young explained that there was a class of men who received the truth without the love of it. They were those who would just as soon fellowship, feel, and associate with, and hold in close communion the poor, miserable sharks that follow us, as they would with the best saints here, and they do not know the difference. Why is this? Because although they have embraced the gospel and know it is true, they have not received the Spirit of Christ. Journal of Discourse, Volume 12, page 57. Jesus often called his disciples his sheep. He referred to himself as the good shepherd, and said that he had appointed other shepherds, or pastors, to watch over his flock. Then he described the wolves who came among his sheep and scattered them. It was a simple illustration to determine who was appointed and who was not appointed by the Lord to care for his flock. Many inconspicuous and insidious means of disrupting the gathering of Israel had been employed by the cunning arch deceiver. His design and purpose had been to scatter Israel when they were gathering, and to keep them scattered when they were in a dispersed condition. The devil has always opposed the doctrine of gathering, and always will. In the early days of this dispensation, there were persecutions, poverty, and governmental interference, and disrupt and discourage the saints from gathering. Can you go a little bit faster? Added to these attacks, there were a few men, such as Sidney Rigdon, who advocated the scattering of the saints. Today, we do not have any persecutions or government opposition to the gathering, but we do have many, many voices proclaiming the virtues of being scattered. Their influence for scattering Israel has been far more effective than all of the mobs and afflictions suffered by the saints in the early days of the church. The doctrine of...
I stopped scrolling because Beverly Kraut said, "Hi, you guys." So, hi, Beverly. And David Noble says, what's it say? Hi.
Hi, Sister Walter. Nice to hear you read. Oh. Thank you. It's nice to be reading again. I've been having a kid.
Yeah, and miserable and all kinds of stuff. And then she's doing a lot better now. So.
Oh, yeah. We feel amazing, and the baby is great. The doctrine of gathering has never been changed by a revelation from the Lord. It has been a gradual decline in the faith of the people and their leaders. Consider the past century of the number of immigrating saints from England to the United States. Years, numbers, 1850 to 1859, there were 12,365 saints. From 1860 to 1869, there were only 9,924 saints. From 1870 to 1879, there was 6,913. And from 1880 to 1889, there were only 8,219. Now, in 1890 to 1899, there were 4,849 saints. And from 1900 to 1909, there were only 3,195. From 1910 to 1919, there were only 892. From 1920 to 1929, there were only 786 gathered. From 1930 to 1936, there were only 360.
And I think that is how many people were coming from other places to gather with the saints, not the actual number of saints in the valley. But anyway, that's taken from the House of Israel by Whitehead, pages 510 to 513. So we're on page 127 of the Gathering of Israel. Not only did the saints begin to fail in gathering together, but the church began to establish stakes outside of the Rocky Mountains. In the turn of the century, a new innovation in the scattering program began. In June of 1901, a stake was organized in Oregon. Others began to follow. In 1923, Los Angeles stake, 1927, Hollywood, 27 again, San Francisco stake, 1934. Three more stakes in California in 1934. Also a stake was organized in New York. Of the first 68 stakes organized after the Saints arrived in Utah, none were established outside the Rocky Mountains except for the three
temporary for immigration purposes. From the last 68 stakes organized, there were 39 established out of the Rocky Mountains. In the past few years, this reversal in the gathering has taken tremendous strides. Consider the following. 1950, 90% of all Saints lived in the U.S., the USA. In 1960, 88% lived in the United States. In 1970, 71% lived in the United States. In 1950, 42% of church members lived in Utah. 1960, 38% of the church members lived in Utah. 1970, 27% of the church members lived in Utah. In the journal history of the church under the date of January 19, 1899, and also in the conference report for April of 1899, indicated that the beginning of a policy to advise the saints to remain in their own countries. On December 14, 1907, the first presidency wrote that the saints in the Netherlands mission as follows, quote, we're on page 127 of the gathering of Israel. Go ahead, Kim.
The policy of the church is not to entice or encourage people to leave their native lands, but to remain faithful and true in their allegiance to their government and to be good citizens. Message of the First Presidency, Volume 4, page 165. Then again in 1921, the First Presidency instructed the presidents of the European mission, George Edward Smith and Orson F. Whitney, who succeeded him, that due to widespread unemployment in the U.S., the saints were not to gather. April 28, 1921, President George Albert Smith, Liverpool, England. Dear brother, we are constrained to call your attention to the state of the unemployment prevailing in America generally and especially so as it affects the western states, including Utah. This state of things is hard enough on our people out here that are out of work, living in rented houses, but it is particularly hard on your European immigrants who have come here during the last 2 or 3 months without sufficient means of support and without relatives or friends to render them needed assistance. And unless, therefore, intending immigrants have such means of support or relatives or friends to come to, even if they should be without employment at home, it is better under these circumstances that they remain at home a while longer than to come and be confronted with the same conditions here, and perhaps worse, for it is one thing to break up a home and quite another thing to make a new one, especially when small houses to rent cannot be obtained, which is the case in Salt Lake and other large cities in Utah. We suggest, therefore, that you make these things known to all our brethren intending to come here, and especially to those who may persist in coming out with ample means of support or relatives or friends to receive and welcome them to their homes, for it's almost impossible to secure employment here at present. And it will readily occur to intending immigrants who are working that it would be very unwise in them to leave their employment to come here only to join the army of the unemployed. With kindest regards, Heber J. Grant, Charles W. Penrose, Anthony W. Ivins, First Presidency, Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 5, page 200.
So if they actually had United Orders, it wouldn't matter. But since they don't do United Orders anymore, it does matter because our economic growth or whatever is tied up to Babylon.
That time didn't they have a special immigration fund?
No, that was way before that. They did away with that. Their perpetual immigration fund is actually something that really got screwed up because, like, they would lend money to gather people who were supposed to pay it back, and then people wouldn't pay it back, and people wouldn't donate to it. Eventually, they had to shut it down because the saints would take the money, but they wouldn't pay it back.
Right.
So, anyway, let me read. August 2nd, 1921, President Orson F. Whitney, Liverpool, England. Dear brother, we send you herewith enclosed copy of a letter dated April 28th, 1921, addressed by the First Presidency to George Albert Smith, the substance of which letter should have been addressed also to all of the European missions, as brethren have quite recently come to this city from Holland and Scandinavia, leaving good jobs and steady work in their native lands, who are now unable to obtain employment, a thing which they would hardly have done had they been advised in prevailing conditions here,
And what has added to their trouble is that they are unable to speak the English language. So disappointed are some of our good brethren that we are informed that they, had they known before leaving their homes that are what they know now, they would not have immigrated so soon. We suggest, therefore, that brethren and sisters of all the European missions intending to immigrate to Utah defer their departure until times improve, affording them opportunity to obtain employment after coming here, and that would, in that word, to this effect be communicated to them by you. Your brother, Anthony W. Ivins, in behalf of the First Presidency, Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 5, page 200 and 201. Go ahead.
These letters and instructions from the First Presidency have grown increasingly firm in their determination to keep the saints scattered around the world. The excuses and reasons have varied, but without the sanction or will of the Lord to back them up, a recent statement in the Deseret News was so discrediting to the doctrine of gathering that it was embarrassing. The General Conference instruction was, the place of gathering for the Mexican saints is in Mexico. The place of the gathering of the Guatemalan saints is in Guatemala. The place of gathering for the Brazilian saints is in Brazil. And so it goes throughout the length and breadth of the whole earth. Bruce R. McConkie, September 2, 1972. Church News, in effect, Elder McConkie was saying that the saints are gathering when in reality they are scattering. Perhaps the doctrine of gathering is too complicated, many who cannot fathom its purpose. Why do the saints gather to America? Why can they not be saved in their own land? These are the questions often asked by those who do not understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither can they have read or studied the scriptures much. If they have, they'd have been void of the Spirit of God to guide them. Millennial Star, 21, page 648. But for the elect, it is comparatively beautiful and clear in both spiritual and practical application. The gathering is a self-evident principle to people who have the Spirit of the Lord. It is one of the simplest and most obvious of all principles. The Spirit of gathering always attends to the work of God. There never was a dispensation in which it did not prevail to greater or less extent. If we throw overboard the principle of the gathering, we cast away one of the most important principles connected with the work of God and salvation of humanity. Millennial Star, Volume 33, page 210 and 326. Every faithful Latter-day Saint must believe that Joseph Smith was a true prophet and that he was called of God to gather Israel and establish Zion. Yet if we believe in his divine mission and the doctrines he taught, then it's necessary to conform all our lives to those principles. But it is sad. It's a sad commentary to note that so many saints accepting the calling of Joseph Smith as a prophet, yet they refuse to accept the doctrines that he professed, even the simple ones, such as the gathering of Israel. Now they keep talking, sorry, this is me and not on there, but now it's everybody is gathering and it's in your own heart, and that's what their new thing is. It's that you only have to feel like in your heart that you are gathered, and that's okay.
Yeah, so basically,
it's very different.
That God has given us a choice between two things. Either we're going to listen to his commandments as given to the prophet Joseph Smith in the Doctrine and Covenants, or we're going to listen to men who have not received any of the Thus Saith the Lord revelations or anything else, who don't have the fruit of being prophets, seers, or revelators, as Joseph did. So we're going to either trust in the flesh or we're going to trust in God and the scriptures that he has given to us for Israel to gather. That's the choice. You're being tested. It's a test. Whether you're going to gather with the saints and like-minded people or you're going to stay scattered abroad. So the devil wants us to stay in a scattered state because when we gather in unity, we become a strength, and especially if we're living the gospel to the best of our ability, and doing the things that are required for the redemption of Zion. So, anyway, it looks like we don't have any guest callers, so I'm going to end it at this point and go to work. So, anyway, I'll try to be back on tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be on page 132 of The Gathering of Israel by Ogden Kraut, and it'll be chapter 13, the 10 Lost Tribes of Israel, and I'll try to be on by 6:30 or 7 if I'm running late. Hopefully I don't sleep in again tomorrow. And when did you get home today? Oh my gosh, this is a long chapter.
Yeah, you're going to have to have me read it.
This is going to take 2 hours. Oh my gosh.
That's not going to take forever.
Yes, it is.
If you talk less and I read faster.
Pages 132 to 190. That's 58 pages.
I can do it in like an hour and a
half. Okay, Kim will be on tomorrow reading, and I will be sitting here listening to her read.
And commentary.
Yeah, I'll give commentary. So, anyway, like I said before, I will be posting this at Zion's Redemption Bookstore, also at fundamentallymormon.com. And in my groups, LDS Gospel Mysteries and LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions. So, and like I said, tomorrow we'll be back on live, and you'll be able to call in if you want or comment on the live stream. So we're broadcasting at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 and also at youtube.com/user/guys my compass. So thank you for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless.